When reading the New Testament, how many have just marveled at the Apostle Paul's burning hot zeal for the Lord and for the brethren? So our topic is about the zeal of my Father's house. Paul's completely unselfish willingness in laying down his very life for them and is zealously spending all his time, his energy, and all that he had would testify to his deep desire to glorify his Heavenly Father, to glorify him completely and show his complete submersion into Christ. Paul had great ardor or passion for God and an enthusiastic zeal. Our teaching goal is to introspectively assess the enthusiasm of our own personal zeal for God and offer suggestions on how to improve that, to create a kind of checkup from the neck up on our zeal. We're going to start off by vicariously taking you right into the Atonement Day, into the sacrifices in Leviticus 16. And I want you to picture before your mind how the high priest, after the fat bullock was slain as a sin offering, you recall, then there were two goats that were brought forward. One was selected as the Lord's goat, wasn't it? And the other was selected as the scapegoat. And when we look at these two goats, imagine the high priest looked at one of the goats, the Lord's goat, and thought, well, we might say it looked like it had some meat on its bones, right? Whereas when he looked at the scapegoat, he might have looked and maybe thought its ribs seemed to be poking out of its skin, and it looked rather scrawny. It was a scrawny scapegoat. Now, mind you, I don't think that was really the case, but just imagine, if you will, for the purposes of our discussion today, the high priest might have shook his head a little when he looked at the scapegoat being led away into the wilderness and wondered, if someone had selected the most lean and sickly goat to go as a possible sacrifice into the tabernacle. Wow. Why would he do that? Why wouldn't he have wanted to have his best sacrifice, his best goat unto the Lord? Why did someone offer a scrawny goat unto the Lord? 2 Corinthians 9:6. We understand that the bullock was fat, right? And represented who? Our Lord Jesus, right? Our Lord Jesus, who was full of burning zeal in serving the Father. So the fat represented what? Zeal, right? Which would sizzle and smoke on the copper altar in the court with a sweet aroma unto Jehovah or Yahweh. And what does that zeal represent? When we look at what the zeal means in the New Testament, and it speaks of Paul's zeal, of his zealous good works that he had for the brethren and for the Lord, then we get the thought of heat, almost like rubbing your hands together, right? Heat or warmth, as well as a fervent mind, amongst other things. It reminds me of how in Revelation 3:15, God said he would have us to be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. Laodicea, the seventh stage of the church, which stage we're in, had that problem, right? God would rather you have not consecrated than to be lukewarm. So what do you and I need to be? Hot, right? Full of loving, and I would add burning, hot zeal, a fervent devotion to God, where you demonstrate that you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Let none of us give God a lukewarm consecration, but rather zealous of good works, zealous of praises to God and daily goals of developing the zeal that Christ had. Christ's zeal was even manifest when he drove the money changers out of the temple. His disciples remembered the scripture that said, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Let's make this a reality, brethren. and not just a lip service or mental understanding, knowing what's required, but not actually making a zealous effort in doing it. The question for us today is this. Are we a goat with perhaps some fat, some hot fervent zeal, or are we going to be a scrawny goat, eventually headed for the wilderness in a forced consecration? After the church is beyond the veil, by the way, that is the scriptural sequence. If you look carefully in Leviticus 16, 20 and 21, take a look. That's the sequence. Read it yourself. Leviticus 16, 20 to 21. So for those of us who are consecrated to a life of sacrifice from a different angle, which goat do we select from our flock of our heart sentiments to offer to the Lord? One with meat on its bones, or will it be a scrawny goat? Do we offer whatever we have left of our time, of our money, of our talents, of our influence? Or do we offer the best goat from our flock of resources? None of what we have is ours anyways, is it? At least in theory. That's what we all promised to God in our consecrations, didn't we? So as God scans and evaluates our daily and weekly sacrifices, does he see us giving our personal best of what we all actually consecrated to give him? Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5. Or do we give him the scrawny goat, or the least of our time and energy? May none of us ever, ever become a scrawny goat. God neither is looking for scrawny goats, nor is he calling us to be scrawny goats. Could any of us possibly perhaps have a stagnated consecration? Perhaps we might even call a comatose consecration that has never really been much improved upon in our sacrifices and best efforts over these many, many years. Are we just riding along day after day, rather dormant, enjoying the view with a false sense of progression or attainment? I ask God this myself. Am I truly giving my Father my very best efforts every day of my life, every week, looking for realistic opportunities of service to the brethren, developing helpful discourses, or bringing my preparations to the meetings, or to offer something edifying, contribute something helpful in a building to the brethren from what I've read? Have I had and taken the opportunity to pass out even one tract in the week, like we talked about yesterday, or made even one small effort to share the most beautiful message of the kingdom to people in the world with the glad tidings of great joy, to a world needing some hope? What can I mentally prepare to be encouraging and helpful to my brethren in testimony, not only in my blessings, but in my struggles of change, of transformational change? How do I share and how do we identify with each other along these lines in this struggle? Or do I look only what I can take away from myself from a meeting to build me up rather than to build up my brethren with the Christian joy and transformational experiences in the school of Christ? How much of my actual consecrated time have I personally given to my Father to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, so I can prove all things to the glory of God and to the edification of the brethren, and to also rightly share or defend the truth in a given witness opportunity with somebody at work or a friend or a relative? If we truly love God's word with a hot, fervent zeal, shouldn't we wish to study? Not just to know, but to defend the God's character and divine plan to others. Or are we just going to be lackadaisical or carelessly lazy in our studies and entertain ourselves with more of the worldly pursuits? God only asks you and I to do our personal best, according to our several abilities in reading and understanding. but he does want our personal best. So don't underestimate yourself for the purpose of excuse in minimizing your study time. A professional Christian never gets their fully approved graduation award without the proper amount of reading and study time that you think the Lord would be happy with you taking. I believe that's what the scriptures tell us in 2 Timothy 2:15 and 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. Study to show thyself what? There's the opposite of that too, isn't there? There's a possibility you might not be approved or disapproved because you're not giving what God expects you to give, given your abilities and responsibilities. For those of you who find great difficulty in reading, perhaps you can listen to the truth literature on Christian resources. I do that. Sometimes I'll go for a walk or I'll go work out on the treadmill and I will listen to it while I'm doing that. I do this when I drink a cup of coffee also. I just listen. So if I'm really going to be a healthy goat, the Lord's goat, and not a scrawny one, do I honestly show God that I count all things but loss and dross in this world? Or do I waste too much precious time on the entertainment of my large screen TV, the time-eating hobbies of art, or watching sports, or worldly goals of music, or playing many games of entertainment on my computer or my cell phone? Am I slowly shriveling up, losing the spiritual weight of a hot, burning zeal for the Lord, because I'm getting caught up in all the time consuming politics of this confused world instead of engaging my commission of Isaiah 61 of binding the brokenhearted, preaching good tidings to the poor, and preaching or promoting the truth in some way to help find the last members of the body of Christ? So here is the question. Do I have a vibrant consecration, actively searching for what I can do? Am I realistically hot with zealous efforts of serving the friends, looking for opportunities of calling on the sick or the elderly, writing a card of encouragement, or taking a dinner dish over to somebody indisposed of illness? Do I take zealous opportunities to help the brethren as I would the Lord, factoring in my workload and my health and look for what the Lord may offer me to prepare my home for study meetings, for example? Are my ambitions holy? Are they heavenward to the glory of God? Or are they more self-centered, selfish, and looking for more fleshly enjoyments that satisfied more and more of my natural cravings for human fulfillment? Can I zealously offer to send out a bereavement card to those who have lost their loved ones in death? Or cheer my brethren's day with a birthday card who have maybe needing some extra encouragement, right? To show people that they really care. They really care about them. Remember Jesus said, when you have done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Powerful words. Can I zealously and with loving warmth, brethren, offer to take someone to the airport or pick them up like many of you have done this weekend from a convention, or possibly house them as you've done so nicely for us? Can I take elderly brethren to the hospital, as some of you do? Do I have a car? Can I drive? Can I get some first volumes and find the little free libraries around the vicinity to place a first volume here or there? Have you tried that? The little free libraries. There's 150,000 of them out there. Have you even put one book from the truth in one of them? There's things you can do. Can I zealously and with loving warmth offer this and many other things unto the Lord, right? Am I actively looking for opportunities of service without neglecting the earthly mortgages of my spouse and my family, keeping a fair balance of my time and sundry obligations? Volume 6, page 469 is powerful. Don't write it down. You might see something really wonderful in that. 469. And also Colossians 4, 12 to 13, concerning Epaphras, his great zeal was incredible. Also, page 207 and 208 is good in the third volume. Do I need to apply myself to even more study and application of that study in developing a better familiarity with the scriptures and properly reflect my Father's divine plan and be able to properly regulate my watch and guard my time and make adjustments where necessary? But above all, to guard my heart, for out of the abundance of the heart will come your fervent zeal, as well as a mouth to speak forth his praises. Romans 10:10. The Lord is looking for a passionate heart for serving him and his, a passionate thirst for knowing him and his son in the wonderful words of life of the Bible. He's looking for a vibrant consecration of loving, fervent zeal. That's what God's looking for in a saint, not a scrawny goat, not a believer who will just give God his leftovers of time, talent, and energy. Jesus is looking for that also, right? He's looking too. Titus 2:14. People zealous of good works. How did the Lord Jesus show his zeal for his Father and his plan? His zeal for the truth. To not only read and study it and therefore know it, but also to speak it forth. Even when it meant a loss of association, disdain for himself or for his different views, persecution in some way, and even death. How about Apostle Paul's example of a hot zeal for preaching the truth and helping his brethren to stay in the truth by better knowing the truth himself? How fervent was Paul's zeal for studying and defending his Father's words of truth and life, his spirit, even when he had to withstand a fellow apostle publicly, when Peter was wrong in showing partiality of fellowshipping with the Jewish and Gentile brethren? He was worried about what others might think. That's what Peter was. That's in Galatians 2:11-14. We should be more worried about what the Lord thinks, right? There's where the bottom line is. And you know how much Paul loved his brother Peter? But Peter was wrong, and Paul had to show Jehovah that his zealous love was stronger for his God who he could not see than for his dear brother who he could see, right? Zeal, zealous love for the truth. Paul was zealous for the best interest of his brethren, even when an elder in the truth, Diotrephes, was shielding his little group of followers in his ecclesia and keeping them away from the big bad apostle Paul, right? You can find this in 3 John 9-11, selfishly keeping this little group of brethren to himself. Didn't want them to have communication with Paul. So what happens to a scrawny goat anyways? What happens to it? Like the one in the tabernacle that is not arbitrarily selected to be the Lord's goat. Zeal for the truth and representing God's doctrines properly is very important. But we are those that worship God in spirit and in truth, both. So I suggest that our approach, whenever possible and as much as lieth within us, must be loving, must be kind and gentle, clothed with humility, driven by the royal law of love, as well as our love for Jehovah. Manna for August 4th. Do I have and demonstrate an attitude of gratitude for all the many blessings that God has given me? Am I zealously and introspectively working on humility and teachability? Or is it always my way or the highway, right? Too proud to take reasonable suggestions from others from time to time. My way is the best. Is that the impression we want to give people about a Christian? Is that the attitude that we want to show God? Did the scrawny goat fervently build upon the foundation of gold, silver, and precious stones of divine truth and internalize a corresponding character? Or did it build with the wood, the hay, and the stubble of traditional errors and sophistries and make an unstable character, wasting away precious hours and days that could have been spent more productively in the Lord's service? That scrawny goat becomes a scapegoat, didn't it? That goat that was let loose in the wilderness, shown particularly at the end of the gospel age harvest, where God forces the consecration of what should have been a hot, fervent, zealous sacrifice that it did not choose to do for itself. So, the Lord, in his mercy, did it for him, forced the consecration. 1 Corinthians 13:3-15. So it says that this Christian was saved so as by fire. Strange way to be saved, right? By fire. That's why they call it the tribulation saints. The foolish virgins had the problem also. It was a lack of fervent zeal. It wasn't that the wise virgins didn't want to give them of their oil, are you listening? But rather that they couldn't give them of their oil, which was that extra spirit of the consecration, that zeal of consecration. That is something that you can't develop overnight, but rather over years and years of concentrated effort. The foolish virgins wasted away precious time they needed to build a graduating Christ-like character. They had one hand on heaven and one hand on earth, and they didn't even know it. In closing, dear brethren, let us all be zealous of good works, and buy of God gold tried in the fire, at the cost of a zealous, fully devoted heart, of joyful sacrifice, of a vibrant consecration to God, not a half-hearted consecration. If you were to take anything away from this short discourse, it would be this. Let us do with all of our might and to be enthusiastically passionate to show God the hot burning zeal of a fully devoted consecration unto sacrifice and to good works. And I pray that none of us will ever look into the mirror of the copper laver that was in that tabernacle court and just see a scrawny goat.